Thank you, Millie. Wonderful job. Wonderful job. In Christ alone. If you have your Bibles today, I encourage them to open them to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. The title of the message is called The Washing. I'm not sure how many of you have ever been in a foot washing ceremony. It's one of those ceremonies, if you're ever involved in, it's quite moving, actually. If you've ever been the one that has received somebody to wash your feet, it's humbling. And if you've ever been one that has went and washed someone's feet, that's humbling as well. Jesus, in John chapter 13, washes the disciples' feet. It's not something that we typically do in our culture. It's not something that you'll probably go and do today unless you feel God's Spirit move greatly within you today in that way. And that's not a ploy that you have to go do that. But sometimes God's Spirit just works in our lives and we gotta do what God tells us to do. I have on the platform today a couple of small basins, small bowls with some towels in representation of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. As you would assume, at that point in time, the streets and the paths were not paved. They didn't have manicured lawns like we do. They didn't have asphalt and cement. The paths were grimy and dirty and dusty and whatever other word you wanted to throw into that. If it was rainy, it might have been a little slick, and it was muddy, and if it was dry, then it would just blow all over, and it would get all over them. And so it was left to the lowest of the slaves, lowest of the servants, to go and wash someone else's feet. As I mentioned last week, some of you would say, no, nobody needs to wash my feet. They're kind of my property, and nobody needs to touch me. I'm not sure what the disciples were thinking and feeling through all of this. I'm assuming that if they were wearing sandals, they didn't have nice feet. They probably had calloused feet. They probably had some ingrown toenails. They probably had all kind. I hope they didn't have any fungus, but who knows? They had stuff in their feet. And yet Jesus said, I need to get down and I need to wash their feet. In Luke, we're told a little bit of what is taking place here before the Last Supper. And if you look into Luke, you will notice that the disciples, before they get to the Last Supper, are doing what? They are arguing about who is the greatest. Saying, well, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good. And who's the greatest? John doesn't share that in this story. But which one of those would have been the one to say, I'm going to wash feet? Probably none of them, because they were the greatest. I think the greatest thing that I hope that you'll get out of this message is the message of Jesus, and that's the message of service. The message of gentleness. If you've ever washed anyone's feet, it's not a quick and hurried job. It's not a job where, some of you have had a pedicure before, and you want somebody who will touch your feet gently. It's kind of like the dentist. You don't want the dentist to say, oh, I've got this little tool and I'm going to drive it in there really deep because that'll be fun. No, you want somebody who's going to be very gentle with your teeth. In the same way, you want somebody who's going to be very gentle with your feet. You don't want them pulling out that big, huge toenail clipper and saying, give me your toe. No, you want somebody very gentle. And this was Jesus. In a day and age, and a place of power and prestige, when those of us who are higher than others, I encourage us to lower ourselves. It speaks of great humility. And I wonder if there's somebody in our life this week, somebody who jumps out throughout this message that we need to show great humility to and serve them. Maybe not that we want to, but that we need to. The other three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, how many of those record the washing of the disciples' feet? The answer is none of them. John is the only one that tells us about the washing of the disciples' feet. Vulnerable, serving. I think John is trying to communicate something that the other three aren't recording. This is the Last Supper, and the Last Supper is recorded other places, but not this service. So as we look today at the scripture, I just ask that you would open your minds and your eyes to what Jesus is trying to communicate through his practical way of serving. If you join me in John chapter 13, I'm going to start at verse 1, and I'm going to go through verse 20, a rather lengthy passage. But if you'd follow along, that would be great. If you didn't happen to bring a Bible and you want to follow on a Bible, there's one in front of you on page 900. It'll be on the screen behind me. Maybe you have a screen to read as well, or you can read your own word that God has provided for you. Here's what it says. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. I'm going to come back to that phrase a little bit later. He loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who is bathed does not need to wash except for his feet." Now, there's no young men in the room that can go home and tell that to your parents, all right? This is talking very specifically for the washing of the disciples' feet. "Mama, I don't need to go wash. No. But is completely clean, and you are clean, but not every one of you. For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." Verse 12. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I am not speaking of all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but the scripture will be fulfilled. He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. I am telling you this now before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me." The first point I want you to hear is this. Jesus was a servant. Jesus was a servant. He said, "I came to seek and save the lost." He came to serve, and this is an ultimate testimony of his service. Jesus had many pedestals that he was on, I believe, because of his signs and his miracles. There were many people that came around him, and because when he performed these signs and these miracles, everybody like, "Whoa, you are Jesus." But here is where he said, "I want to display the role of a servant." Do you and I serve others? Now, as I look across the sanctuary, a number of you serve, and you serve well. Thank you for doing that, because what you're doing when you serve is you're serving as Jesus would serve. That's what he's called us to do. Some of you work, live, are in places where you're like, "Boy, I sure hope you don't beat up on me today, Pastor Steve, because I serve all of the time." Kudos to you. That's what Jesus did. That's what we're called to do, is to serve. Some of us like to sit back and to be served. And Jesus says, will you serve? And will you serve with the right attitude, not with an attitude? Some of us serve that way. I guess I'll do that. I guess I'll do that. However we respond. Think on this. Jesus knew that soon Judas was going to betray him. He also knew that Peter was going to deny him, not just once, but three times. He knew that all the other disciples were going to flee, and he was going to be left alone. Who would be with him? But in these moments, though he knew all those things, he chose to serve in a humbling role. I think that's profound, actually, because if I know somebody's going to betray me, deny me, flee from me, I'm going to want to try to just kind of get back in my own little self and say, but I know what you guys are going to do. And Jesus didn't do that. He said, I'm going to open myself up, and I'm going to serve. The best example I have of this is for you and I. Do you have any enemies? Is there anybody in your life that if you if you had to sit in the same room with them, there would just be something on the back of your neck. You'd be like, I'm just really uncomfortable with this person, and I really don't like them. They don't like me, and I wish I could just get out of this place. Or maybe someone who, if you saw that person today, you would walk up to them, and you might want to, you might not do this because of who you are, but you might in your spirit want to spit at them, or maybe slap them in the face, or maybe you just would turn and walk away, or maybe there's a few other responses that I would want to mention. Jesus knew this about Judas, that he was going to betray, but he didn't act in anger. He said, I need to get down on the ground and wash these feet. We must wash others' feet even when we suspect, know, believe our service will be slapped back in our face. Please read this quote on the screen. Jesus met the greatest injury and the supreme disloyalty with the greatest humility and the supreme love. I may be talking to somebody here this morning who, you can just leave it on the screen for just a moment, who you might have the greatest injury and the greatest disloyalty. And Jesus says to you today, attack that with the greatest humility and the most supreme love. And that can only come through Jesus working through you. Because you can't do that on your own. Because when you have somebody who's done something to you, and many of you have, you want to raise up and you want to say, okay, bring it on. The late Larry Marshall, some of you know Larry Marshall, he would say this, that we're supposed to turn the other cheek, and so he would. And he said, but now if they hit the other cheek, now it's game on. Now, I don't know if that's how we're supposed to respond or not, but I'm like, yeah. And for those of you who have been hit on one cheek and then the other cheek, for you to respond as Jesus did and serve someone, that's tough. And that's when Jesus comes through and lives through us. The second thing I want you to see is this. Jesus showed love practically. I hope that you tell the people around you that you love them often. I hope it's not just the, well, I told you I loved you at the wedding altar, and if it ever changes, I'll let you know. No, tell them you love them. Show them practically that you love them. Jesus went past any social norms, and he was a servant. His hands, think of this, Jesus' hands had just done what? Jesus' hands had just broke bread, and he had just poured the cup, and then his hands went from giving that to kneeling by a little basin and saying, let me wash your feet. Those were his hands. I looked in the Bible to see how many times washing feet was mentioned. It's mentioned several times, but in all actuality, the washing of the feet is not mentioned a lot in the Bible that I've found. Here's where I found other accounts. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 4, Abraham, he is visited by three visitors, and he says maybe a little water could be brought so they can wash their feet, their own feet. In Genesis chapter 19, verse 2, there was two angels that came to Lot's house in Sodom, and so water was brought for them to wash their own feet. In Genesis chapter 24, Isaac was out looking for a wife, or a servant was looking for a wife for Isaac, and so water was brought for that servant to wash their feet. In Genesis chapter 43, water was brought for Joseph's brothers. When Joseph's brothers came to Egypt, he's like, oh, let's get them some water to wash their feet. In 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 41, when David was with Abigail, Abigail presented water to wash David's servant's feet. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, David tells Uriah when he calls him in from the field, and events happen from there, if you remember that story with Bathsheba, he tells Uriah, go home and wash your feet. Go home and wash your feet. In Luke chapter 7, verse 44, there's a washing of feet, but it's not done with water. It's done with tears from Mary. Interestingly enough, the place where I found the washing of feet was in 1 Timothy chapter 5, and it was found in verse 10. And if you happen to go to 1 Timothy chapter 5, you realize that that is actually instructions for widows. And it says this, and having a reputation for good works, a widow, if she has brought up children, has shown hospitality, has washed the feet of the saints, has cared for the afflicted, and has devoted herself to every good work. Kind of interesting. That was, here it is mentioned about a widow washing feet. I say all this to say this must have been shocking. When we read this, it's one of those things we read the stories like, well, yeah, Jesus washed the disciples' feet. It must have been shocking to them. They're like, what's happening here? What are you doing? Why is Jesus getting down on the floor and washing feet? This doesn't make any sense. I wonder if they were overwhelmed. It was out of place. It was bewildering, and it was unbelievable. Now, think about this, though. The disciples had been with Jesus in a number of unbelievable places. We have 5,000 people to feed. What are we going to do? Oh, just talk to Jesus. We're out in the midst of the sea, and everything's fearful. What are we going to do? Oh, here's a ghost. Oh, wait, it's Jesus. Just jump in the boat with us. They had seen a bunch of different miracles and things. But now it says that he loved them to the end, and he knelt and he washed their feet. I guess I think of it in this way. Some of us in this room have bosses or employers, however you want to refer them, that never get their hands dirty. Or maybe you remember something like that. You're like, they just sit in their office and just tell us what to do, and they never come and help. Now, some of you have had bosses that are just not like that at all. They're like, hey, I'm jumping in the grime with you, and away we go. Think of you, if you've had one of those bosses getting down and helping you with work. You're like, what are you doing? That's so weird. Why don't you go back and we don't want to dirty your hands, sir or ma'am. You better go back in your office because we don't want to dirty your keyboard because you're just sitting there all day. Imagine that individual coming and kneeling and helping you. I wonder, what were the others thinking? How come they didn't say anything? Or maybe Peter was the first one just to say what everyone else was thinking. And maybe Peter is a little bit like some of us. Not me, Lord. I got this. You don't need to wash my feet because I'm good to go. And Jesus says, Peter, I don't know that he sighed, but I can assume Peter did that. He does that with some of us. Because some of us do that. I got it, Lord. Don't need to worry about me. And God continues to remind us, rely upon me. Peter relents, but of course, you know, Peter's also like, jump in with both feet. Let's go. I mean, if we're going to get a bath, let's do it all. But Jesus says, this is enough. The washing is important, and at least one would say this is referencing baptism. Have you been baptized? We have a baptism coming up November 10, and it's time for you maybe to publicly proclaim your faith. We all need to be washed. That's something that you get to catch from the passage is that we all need to be washed. Let me end point number two with this. Most of us in this room cannot perform miracles on a consistent basis or even at all. We just can't do that. However, the point is this. Jesus showed love practically, and we all can show love practically. We can serve. We can serve in our homes. We can serve in our church. We can serve in our schools. We can serve at work. We can serve in the community. Not because you have to, but because Christ's love compels you to serve. Don't be selfish. The third thing I want you to see is this. Jesus gave them an example. And ultimately, if you write this down, you shouldn't necessarily write down Jesus gave them an example. You might want to write down Jesus gave me an example. Or if you want to make it a little more for all of us, gave us an example. He says, if I have washed your feet, you ought to wash others' feet. As you think in your life, whose feet are you washing? Now, I'm not talking literal feet. Unless you want to go wash somebody's literal feet, feel free to do that. Whose feet are you washing, or do you just take care of your own? Some of you are single, and you don't have a spouse. So does that mean that you can't do it for someone else? I say, not at all. Serve someone. Get down on your knees this week and find someone to serve. There's someone around you that just needs to be served. And when you serve, Christ's love compels you. And it's like, wow. And they say this, why are you doing this? And you say, you know, I was just in church and the pastor encouraged us to serve and I just wanted to serve you in this way. And they're going to be like, thank you. Or they may not even know what to say. If you're a husband in the room, how are you washing your wife's feet? I ask the question of myself, am I serving my wife? Are we serving our wives? Or we're like, yeah, you take care of everything and I'll tell you thank you. Maybe, if I think about it, on the third Friday. Husbands in the room, how are you serving your wives? Maybe. If you want to ask the question over lunch, how can I serve you better? How can I start serving you? Maybe that's a question. That'd be a vulnerable conversation, possibly. Wives, if you're a lady in the room, how are you serving your husband? And is it in a way that is good for him, pleasing to him, helpful to him? Children, if you're a child in the room, how are you serving your siblings? If you're a young person in the room, how are you serving your siblings? Do you do that? Or do you merely say, you know, you pick up your own shoes. You pick up your own room. If you're a parent in the room, how are you serving your children? How are you practically getting down on your knees and serving your kids? And those of you who are older parents in the room know that every time you get down, it's a little harder to get back up. But Jesus did that. He served. One of the best ways to serve is to first ask how to serve. Or no. This was pretty obvious for Jesus. Dirty feet. I've got this. And so he washed their feet. It's so countercultural in the serving. We want to be served. We want our rights. We want others to lift us up. But Christ says, serve others. So I challenge you right now in the middle of this message. You have something around you and you have a pen around you somewhere. If God's bringing somebody to your mind right now, write down that name on your bulletin and say, I need to serve this person. I need to serve them. Maybe it's somebody you've been serving. Maybe it's someone new. Maybe it's going to be dirty. But if Jesus is calling you to do that, write that name down and you go serve that person this week. Jesus served the 12 disciples. There's a phrase in verse 1 that I think is important. The ESV says it this way. He loved them to the end. The NIV says he showed them the full extent of his love. The King James Version says he loved them to the end. It's interesting to me. The end hasn't come yet. He still needs to go to trial. He still needs to be convicted. He still needs to carry the cross. He still needs to be nailed to the cross. He needs to die. He still needs to rise again. He still needs to appear to the disciples and others. He still needs to go into heaven. And so why is he saying, John, he loved them to the end? This is not the end. Is John saying that this service was more important than all of the other things? He could be saying that. He could be saying that this is just a physical act involving flesh and bones that demonstrate who Jesus was and is. Here's my opinion of the text. Jesus died on the cross. We get that. We understand that somewhat. We don't totally understand. At least I don't totally understand that. I understand, but it's huge to you to truly understand what Jesus died on the cross mean for you. Again, we understand that. But he was there. But when Jesus got down with the disciples, he touched them. He was literally with them. I mean, they were feeling the calluses on Jesus' hand. If he had any calluses on his hand, they were feeling that on their own feet. I think there's something here that he's saying, I'm showing you a very practical thing, and I'm touching you. I want you to know that I'm serving you. He was dying for all sin on the cross, but somewhat removed on the cross. But here he was saying, I am right here. I am serving you. Kind of a representation of him coming to earth. He didn't just float around in the heavens and just say, hey, I'm still here for you. No, he came to our world. He died on the cross and he knelt on his feet and he said, I am serving you. Jesus was about to die on the cross. There was going to be an agony with this. But there also could have been a source of pride for Jesus. I'm going to be high and lifted up. I'm going to defeat all of mankind. He knew the hour of his glory was near. He could have had supreme pride, but he had supreme humility right before that. He knew he was going to God, and so he may have focused on that, and he may not have been concerned with the disciples. Why did he spend time with them? Dude, I've got to take care of other things. Some of us are like that. Sometimes I'm like that. Yeah, please don't bother me because I'm really trying to get to here. Please, yeah. You're interrupting my, I'm trying to, and somebody comes and interrupts. You're like, no, time out. Don't do that. Don't do that. Jesus knew he was going to God, and yet he said, I need to spend time with the disciples. Maybe that is how our love should be for others. So out of place and overwhelming that they can't deny Christ's love living through us. I think John is showing us the intimateness of Jesus. John would have been right there in the room and he would have known exactly what took place and how it affected him. And obviously it did, or he wouldn't have written about it. The disciples have been through a lot with Jesus. Many times we want a certain place in the church, in our society, and Jesus says, be a servant. Be a servant. And there's a reminder to you, if you've ever been in a foot washing ceremony, you know this. It takes time. You don't just go, psh, 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 done. All done, this is great. Wow, I did my job, woohoo. Jesus left, tied the towel around and quickly went. No, it takes time. And you know what happens with the water? Gets dirty. When you serve this week, you might have to wash your hands a couple of times. Gets dirty. The fourth thing I want you to see is this, and I think it's kind of hidden in verse 20. Jesus tells us about the Trinity. Let me read it to you again. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. I think there's three in that verse, and I think you just have to look at it a little closer to catch it, and if you see it, then you see it. Whoever receives the one, Jesus is talking here, I send receives me. I think that he's talking about the Trinity there. The Holy Spirit's going to be coming. And when I send him, whoever receives him receives me. But I also think that, and then it says, whoever sent me, which is God the Father, the Trinity all working together. But I also see in that verse him not only saying, the one that I receives the one I send receives me, but who else is the one that Jesus sends? The disciples. You. And when you go serve this week, because you will, because you've been compelled to do that from the word, I believe. If somebody doesn't receive that, then they don't receive the Lord. And when they receive that, they receive the Lord, if that makes sense. This was a vulnerable time for Jesus. He knew what was coming. The disciples did not. Though he could have been prideful or sorrowful, he served with humility. I hope that this encourages you today. Jesus, our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, knelt on the ground in service before he died on the cross. And then he says, here's the example. So, whose literal feet? Whose literal feet do you need to go and wash this week? Maybe that's an act of submission. Or maybe you could be a servant to someone this week and they could see God's love through you. Jesus humbled himself and served his disciples. And now we should do the same. Would you stand with me today? I want to pray for each of us as we go from this place. Thank you, God, for your love. Thank you that you came and you served and you got down on the ground. You got down on the ground as these disciples. That was probably a little grimy, a little greasy, a little dusty, a little dirty, but you said, I need to do this. You could have at that point in time said, well, I'm going to the cross. And practically you served. Thank you for serving the disciples and showing your humility. Thank you for loving your disciples even to the end. God, I pray that as each person goes out of this room this morning, that you would just reignite someone here today to continue to serve. They have felt like, man, the water basin is so full of grime because I've been serving. Remind them that that's what you did. God, for those who are in this room this morning who are just selfish and they haven't served anybody in a while, I just pray that they would take this to heart. And be reminded that you served us, and thus we must to serve others. And God, I just pray that as we serve others, that there would just be such a great outpouring of your Spirit working in and through us, that there would be many people that would come to know you as Savior and Lord because of that. God, I do pray that if there would be somebody here this morning who hasn't ever accepted you and they've not agreed to follow in a relationship with you, that they would just see the humility you displayed and they would say, yes, I want to follow that kind of Savior. Thank you, God, that you love us. May you go before us each and every step this week. And as we serve with our hands this week, may we serve as unto you. Thank you for your love. We pray this all in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.